New report shows that the coronavirus pandemic has amplified sexual harassment in the service industry. Workers say that their dependence on tips has forced them to tolerate often degrading or even dangerous requests from customers, including requests to remove their masks. The report from the advocacy group One Fair Wage found that more than 80% of workers who responded to their survey have seen a decline in tips. More than 40% say they're experiencing more sexual harassment from customers. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you work in the service industry, in the restaurant world in particular? How have you seen a change in the way customers interact with you? Are you feeling pressure to remove your mask? How have your tips changed? What would improve this dynamic? Are things kind of bad even when you're in a restaurant that can be open? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. Saru Jayaraman is the president of One Fair Wage, an organization that advocates for higher wages for service workers. She teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. Saru, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start with a look at wages for tipped workers. Lower, of course, than the usual minimum wage at the federal level, at state levels. Can you remind us of the idea behind why it's low?
Yeah, well, it's actually a legacy of slavery. The first tipped workers in the United States, right at emancipation, the restaurant lobby wanted to hire mostly black workers, not pay them anything, and have them live entirely on tips, which was a mutation of the original concept of tipping. Tipping originated in Europe as an extra or a bonus on top of a wage. But when it came to the States, as the restaurant industry wanted to hire black workers at emancipation, they mutated the idea of tipping from being an extra or bonus to being a replacement for wages. So we started with a $0 wage for newly freed slaves at emancipation, and that went all the way up to $2.13 an hour, which is the current federal minimum wage for tipped workers, and is also the wage in Wisconsin. You know, Wisconsin is one of 43 states that allows tipped workers to be paid a sub-minimum wage as a result of this legacy of slavery. And today, 70% of tipped workers are women in Wisconsin and nationally, largely working in casual restaurants, not making enough in tips, really struggling, and also suffering from the highest rates of sexual harassment of any industry in the U.S. But there are seven states that do it differently. California, Oregon, Washington, Nevada, Minnesota, Montana, and Alaska all require a full minimum wage with tips on top of that. And those states actually have higher rates of tipping than Wisconsin. They also have higher job growth in the restaurant industry, higher small business growth in the restaurant industry, and one half the rate of sexual harassment in the restaurant industry. Because it turns out when a woman doesn't have to accept everything from customers because the tips are an extra or a bonus, not the wage itself, she can reject harassment from customers. And that's what happens in, you know, not too far state of Minnesota to Wisconsin. They require full minimum wage with tips on top, and you've got half the rate of sexual harassment.
And before we get into the results of the survey you did of many restaurant workers, Saru, let's amplify that point a little bit, because these restaurant workers, servers in particular, are so dependent on tips to make up the bulk of their wage in many cases, bartenders as well, you talked to in the survey. That leaves them in many ways vulnerable to harassment by customers or in some cases managers. Can you talk about that a little more?
Sure. Even before the pandemic, what we found was that workers in our industry, when they earn a sub-minimum wage, have to tolerate all kinds of inappropriate customer behavior to feed their families and tips, because the wage is so low, it goes entirely to taxes. You know, when you get a wage of $2.33 in Wisconsin, it's so low it goes to taxes. You live mostly, almost entirely on your tips. And so you have to put up with whatever a customer says or does. The customer's always right. They're paying your bills, not your employer. And so we found that when workers are paid a full minimum wage, they don't have to rely as much on customers. They can reject the harassment from customers because they can count on a wage from their boss, like every other worker in every other industry. They get tips. Workers in Minnesota and California and Oregon and Washington, they get tips. They get actually more tips than they do in Wisconsin, but they're not as reliant entirely on the tips to feed their families. So there really is a power dynamic between servers and customers that exists when the wage is so low. There's a power dynamic that allows the customers to get away with doing all kinds of things, and the workers feel compelled to put up with it. We also found from the research prior to the pandemic that managers actually encourage women dress more sexy, show more cleavage, wear tighter clothing in order to make more money in tips. And we found that workers in states like Wisconsin that have a really low sub-minimum wage, managers told them to engage in that kind of behavior at 3 times the rate as managers in states with a full minimum wage. Because again, when you are entirely dependent on tips, you're just more vulnerable, as you said, to everything that the customer does, but also to whatever your manager tells you is going to be the way to get those tips, because tips are your only source of income.
Talking to Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage, the organization did a survey of restaurant workers to find how behavior had changed in restaurants during the pandemic, found many of them getting lower tips and more harassment. Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. John is with us in Waukesha. John, hi.
Hey, I just wanted to make a comment. My wife works at a restaurant that has actually done pretty well during the pandemic. They do lots of takeout. However, the owners are fairly vocal about not supporting mask mandates, just thinking it's kind of silly. But of course, some of the staff does, including my wife. However, what this has led to is her getting quite a bit of harassment from people who are opposed to masks, from straight out just asking her to take it off. And a common thing that happens repeatedly is people pretending they can't hear what she's saying when she has a mask on. What? I can't understand you. And it's really tough, because I guess it's one thing if you don't necessarily agree with it for your family, but to harass your people who are taking risks every day because of virtue signaling, I feel is very stressful and unfair. I'll take my comments off the air.
John, thanks for that story. And Saru, reading responses from the people in your survey, John's wife not alone in being harassed one way or another because of mask wearing.
That's absolutely right. Sadly, we saw a massive spike in hostility among customers and in particular among sexual harassment. So sadly, almost half of the workers surveyed said they knew somebody in the restaurant who had, at least one person who had gotten sick from the virus. And that a majority of workers said their tips were down 50 to 75%, and that they couldn't enforce social distancing and mask rules because they relied on tips from the same customers on whom were expecting them to enforce these rules. But worst of all, 40% of workers said that sexual harassment had gone way up during the pandemic, and hundreds of women submitted comments from male customers basically telling them to take their masks off so that they could judge their looks and therefore their tips on that basis. It was so common. We heard it so often. We ended up creating a term for it. We're calling it masculine harassment. It's basically women being asked to remove their protective gear, to remove their masks, which is life-threatening, in order to allow the men to judge their looks and therefore their tips on that basis. And it's really made this issue of a sub-minimum wage and reliance on tips move from an issue of economic injustice and economic instability and gender and race injustice to become now an issue of life or death.
Thanks for sharing that story. We'll go to Scott now in Luxembourg. Scott, hi.
Hi there. Actually, a confession to make, because I was one a person who asked a waitress to remove her mask. I worked in the wait in the service industry, but I have to say that when I did do it, I acknowledged that I should not have done it now. But it had nothing to do with her tip. I had already written a tip out. It tipped her very well because she did such an exceptional job. And we were just leaving, and I just wanted to see that person just because they're wearing the mask and I couldn't see the person. But it had nothing to do with harassment. Like I said, the check had already been written out. I always tip at least 20 to 25% because I know it's tough right now. I do acknowledge that was not the right thing for me to do. But at that point, I was completely oblivious to the fact. Had nothing to do with sexual harassment, but I do acknowledge the fact that it was a unsafe thing to do, and I have not done that since. But I just wanted to more or less comment on that, that the tip, my request to her to remove her mask had nothing to do with sexual harassment.
Scott, thanks a lot for the call. Scott saying I think he wanted to see the person, which, you know, I do miss when we're all out in masks. Scott says he hasn't done it again, though. I don't know. What are your thoughts for restaurant patrons, even if, as Scott says, he was thought he innocently just wanted to see the face of the person who had been working for him at the restaurant?
Yeah, I want to be clear. I don't think anybody is denigrating anybody in this situation. I mean, I don't think men should be sexually harassing women. I don't think that's what your caller did. But in general, I think what we're pointing to is not the fault of any individual. It's the fault of a system. When the state allows restaurants to be paid as restaurant workers to be paid as little as $2 and have to rely entirely on customers, whether the customer is innocent and well-intentioned or not, the worker feels completely compelled to do whatever the customer says because, again, the employer is not paying their wage as they should be. The customer is paying all of the workers' bills. And so I completely understand the desire to see one another. Right now we're all feeling super isolated, but it's so important to understand the lack of power that these workers have on the job, that they're being asked to do more for less. They're being asked to now become public health marshals and put up with hostility from customers, as your first caller mentioned, all for far less in tips. And so having sympathy and wanting to sympathize and connect and support workers means not asking them to remove their mask, which is the only thing that protects them from getting the virus. And it does mean, yes, tipping them well, but ultimately it means calling for state legislators and federal and Congress to get rid of this subminimum wage for workers and make sure that employers are paying their workers a full minimum wage so that a woman feels empowered to say, thank you so much, I appreciate the sentiment, but I don't want to take off my mask because I don't want to risk either, you know, my own health or anybody else's health by doing so.
We're talking to Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage, talking about a decrease in tips and an increase in harassment that service workers are reporting during the pandemic, including in a survey by our guest organization. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work at a restaurant where there is some sort of indoor, or I guess outdoor seating that's been going on over the course of the year, have you seen this, a tougher time for tips? More harassment? Was this a problem even before the pandemic? And what do you think of the idea of changing that whole minimum wage structure, not counting on just tips to bring restaurant workers' wages up to the minimum that other industries have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk now with Saru Jayaraman, president of One Fair Wage, an organization that advocates for higher wages for service workers, talking to her about harassment and reduced tips that restaurant workers are seeing during the pandemic. The group did a survey of many restaurant workers, found lower tips, more harassment. You can join in at 800-642-1234. If you work at a restaurant, are you still able to go to work? And what have things been like when you go to work? And what do you think of the idea that our guest is calling for to stop the reliance on tips so much for restaurant workers, not to get rid of them completely, but to bring that sub-minimum wage up to the minimum and maybe change the balance of power a little bit at the restaurant? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. We've got Ryan with us in La Crosse now. Ryan, hi.
Thanks for taking my call. I think this is a really important subject. I'm glad that Minnesota has taken the step forward, and I think we need to do it in Wisconsin. One thing I think you might be seeing is the type of people that are showing up to restaurants now are not the people like me who've worked in the restaurant industry, maybe treat them better, and are not showing up because I care about my fellow human beings and I'm getting order out, where people who might be on the other spectrum of the political side, maybe more of the MAGA side or the anti-mask people, are the people who are coming out, and that might be the demographic you're seeing more of.
Ryan, thanks for the call. And sorry, that reminds me also a story where at least some of the people you surveyed said they get the feeling that when people are going out, they're really cutting loose and behaving maybe in ways they haven't, wouldn't have in the past, because it's, you know, a relief to be out. And I don't know, the normal rules don't seem to apply.
Yeah, I think your caller hit it so right on the head, which is you're seeing two things change during the pandemic. One, because tips are down, workers are more reliant on every customer, meaning the power dynamic between every customer that walks in the door and the server is exacerbated. And so she feels like she has to do anything that customer says, because that's one of her few sources of tips for the day, because the customer base is so declined. But exactly as your caller just said, we've also seen a change in the nature of customers, where maybe customers who are more concerned about social distancing and mask rules and COVID in general are staying home. So a lot of the regulars at restaurants are not there. And a new clientele or a different clientele that is not as concerned about COVID or social distancing and or masks, certainly not as concerned once they've started drinking, they are a lot more aggressive. And workers reported, a vast majority of workers reported not just an increase in harassment, but a pretty severe increase in hostility from customers in general. I mean, keep in mind, again, these workers are being asked to do more for less, less tips. And now on top of being a bartender or a server, they're moving tables, they're setting up outdoor dining spaces, and they're being asked to be public health marshals. Look, the CDC reported in September that adults are twice as likely to get COVID eating in a restaurant. Imagine working in a restaurant. It is a high risk situation. And these workers, we rely on them as essential service workers to enforce social distancing and mask rules in this very high risk situation. But they can't do it if they have to get tips from the very same customers from whom we are asking them to enforce these rules. It's a total, honestly, like impossible situation, more for less, and with customers that are a lot more aggressive.
Thanks for that call. We'll go to Heather now in Madison. Heather, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Just kind of wanted to echo a little bit what your guest just said, which is wait staff is required to do sometimes an hour or two of what's called side work, which is cleaning bathrooms, setting up and folding napkins and all this stuff for $2 an hour, you know, and they're doing all of this work basically unpaid. And so I could not emphasize enough the need to get on board with a minimum wage that's livable.
Heather, thanks for telling us about that. So that's the norm. There might be an hour or even 2 hours of that sub-minimum wage work where obviously you're not getting tips because you're not doing the work with customers?
That's right. And I don't think most of your callers know, I have some news to report. Just today, the Trump administration announced a last-minute rule change, attempted rule change by the U.S. Department of Labor, making it legal for restaurants to pay workers $2 an hour, even when they are not doing tip-related work, cleaning bathrooms, stocking shelves, moving tables. So what your caller just described is actually not what's supposed to happen. If you're not getting tips, if you're not interacting with customers, you're supposed to be paid a full minimum wage. And I encourage your caller to get in touch with us because that's actually a legal violation. But today, the Trump administration is attempting to make that legal, allowing restaurants to go ahead and pay everybody the sub-minimum wage, even if they are not doing tip-related work. Until today, there was a rule called the 80-20 rule, put in place over many, many years of various administrations, Republican and Democratic, that said that if you're getting a sub-minimum wage of $2 or $3 or $4, whatever it is in your state, you have to spend at least 80% of the time interacting with customers to get the tips that will bring you to the full minimum wage or beyond. Well, today, Trump, in a last-minute move to support his peers and cronies in the National Restaurant Association, which represents the chain, is attempting to move this rule before he leaves office that would allow restaurant companies to go ahead and pay everybody a sub-minimum wage, even if they're not doing tip-related work. It's horrible, and we are planning to sue and stop this rule and work hopefully with the new administration to immediately reverse it. But it just, again, proves the point. What we need to do is just get rid of this sub-minimum wage altogether. Everybody should be paid a full minimum wage with tips on top, because as long as there is a sub-minimum wage, companies are going to try to continue to push to be able to pay everybody that sub-minimum wage. More and more companies are going to want to do this. We're already seeing DoorDash and Instacart try to copy this by cutting their delivery workers' payments based on how much we tip them. That is outrageous, but frankly, it's already what's been happening in the restaurant industry for 150 years. So let's make sure everybody gets paid a minimum wage, and that when we tip, It's on top of the wage, not instead of the wage.
Briefly, as we wrap up, Saru, people might wonder, well, will this hurt restaurants? Will this make it harder for restaurants to stay afloat if we change the wage structure?
You know, I live in California, and California has had the largest and fastest growing restaurant industry in the United States of America for 50 years. We have seen our wages go up, and as they've gone up, we've seen restaurant workers be able to spend in their own industry. And anybody on this call who has ever worked in the industry knows restaurant workers spend in their own industry more than other people, and they tip better than other people. So what happens when you pay restaurant workers more? Restaurants do better. Tipping goes up. The overall economy does better because we're one of the largest workforces in America and in Wisconsin. So what we've seen in the states that have enacted this is that as wages go up, actually the economy does better. The restaurants do better over time. And frankly, you know, if all boats rise together, in other words, if this is the state law or the federal law, all boats rise together. Everybody's wages go up at the same time. Then you see growth rather than any kind of loss.
Saru, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
Saru Jayaraman is the president of One Fair Wage. She teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. She recently conducted a survey looking at the experience of tipped restaurant workers during the pandemic.